And now, When Radio Was. Brought to you by RadioSpirits.com.
I'm Greg Bell, and up first, Edgar and Charlie welcome to their show, actor and comedian Ken Murray. And later, how about Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce as the couple next door? Murray was born Kenneth Abner Doncourt in New York City. First got into showbiz in the 1920s as a stand-up comedian. Then in the 30s, he hosted a few radio variety shows. Murray was the original host of the game show Queen for a Day. And he also had his own TV program. The Ken Murray Show aired from 1950 to 53. This radio appearance is from about a decade earlier. A wartime broadcast from January 3rd, 1943.
The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea present Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and Don Ameche.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea time, so drink up and smile a while with Edgar Bergen, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, our special guests, Ken Murray and Charlie McCarthy. Charlie?
Hello, Mr. Mucci. Did you have a happy new year, I'm afraid?
Oh, yes, I did, Charlie. You know, I'm all set for 1943.
Oh, I am so glad for you. Really, I'm so glad.
Well, you sound very glad, Charlie. You really sound glad. And you know, I've decided that next year I won't say any mean things behind your back.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's all right, Charlie. Hereafter, I'll tell you right to your face.
Thank you.
It's all right. Perfectly all right. Now, how about you? You know, isn't it about time you and your pal Skinny Dugan mended your ways?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You kids certainly made a mess out of your lives in the past year.
Wait till you see what we got planned for this year.
Say, Charlie, how about old man Dugan? Did he turn over a new leaf on New Year's Eve?
On New Year's Eve, old man Dugan couldn't turn over at all.
Dale, tell me, have you made any resolutions?
Well, I really haven't, Don.
Oh, good. As far as I'm concerned, Dale, I like you just the way you are.
Oh, Charlie, you're so sweet. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sing a song just for you.
You are?
Mm-hmm. And for all our boys in the service everywhere.
Oh.
Dale Evans sings just for Charlie McCarthy and everyone else who may be listening. Hip, hip, hooray!
Hip, hip, hooray.
Hooray!
We're living in the USA. Come on, you Yanks, and holler thanks.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Hooray.
Americans will always say, we like it here, stand up and cheer.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Every girl and boy can find romance. Need star-spangled skies. There's lots of fun for everyone in our land of paradise. Oh, hip, hip, hooray. USA. Let freedom ring, come on and sing.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Mr. and Mrs. America, listen closely to me. Why you should be thankful every day that you live in a land that's free. You're lucky, you can say, you're living in the USA.
Freedom ring, come on and sing.
Hooray for America.
Hooray for America.
Oh, thank you, Charlie, so much.
I might even call it the quintessence of melodic interpretation.
The Atlantic interpreter. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, McCarthy. Do you get off slinging those big words around?
Well, after all, Mr. Amici, I do have my reputation to maintain. As a member of the scholastically elite.
Scholastically elite, did you say?
That's what I said, yes.
Just
call me Brains McCarthy, that's all. The Wonder Boy, that's me, the Wonder Boy.
The Wonder Boy. Listen, McCarthy, when it comes to brains, you never got more than an A card.
You don't know about that? I might resent that, Mr. Amici.
You might resent it.
I think I will. I'll vote on it.
Yes. Never resent facts, Charlie. Never resent facts.
I don't know. Tell him, Bergen.
Well, Don,
Charlie... Tell me what?
Charlie really has a right to do a little boasting now.
Why?
Well, he came home with an excellent report card.
No!
Yes.
Nothing really. Nothing really.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
No, I don't believe it.
Oh, it's not that impossible.
That's what you think.
As a matter of fact, his lowest mark was 92.
90? McCarthy with a good report card? Why, that's positively unbelievable, lady. Oh. Why, it's left me speechless.
Well, let's keep it that way.
What did you do, McCarthy? Bring your teacher an apple?
No, no. I brought her a pound of butter.
I see.
Don, I want you to look at this report card.
Let me see it. Will you please let me see it? I got 92 in history, 95 in geography, 96 in spelling.
And by the way, what are the quiz kids doing these days?
My gosh, Ed, you must be very proud of Charlie. Well,
Don, I'm so pleased, I just can't put it into words.
Well, money talks, brother. Yeah.
Never mind that, though.
Say, tell me, Charlie, after such a good report card, how does your teacher regard you now, huh?
With suspicion.
But, young man, she has no justification for that, has she?
No, Mr. Bergen, no. No, you see, I have discovered that gaining knowledge is largely a matter of whom we associate with.
Oh, yes, so very true, McCarthy, very true.
Oh, it is so true, Don.
Yes.
Oh, it is just so true. Especially whom we associate with during examinations.
What was that?
I guess I'm talking a little too much.
Yes. I would like to have you elaborate a little on that last remark.
Well, I wasn't exactly the smartest kid in my class.
No.
But I was next to him.
Oh, I see. You mean... Oh, surely you don't mean, Charlie, that you cheated? That you copied?
Well, let us rather say I was within peeking distance of the intelligence.
Intelligentsia.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Gopher Puss.
Oh, Gopher Puss.
Yes,
I see. Oh, I see. He's intellectual.
Oh, he's the intellectual type, yes. He actually reads books with no pictures in them.
Oh, really? Well, did Gopher Puss let you copy off his paper?
No, it was 50-50. We signed a mutual assistance compact.
Yeah. A mutual assistance.
Yes,
I see.
I gave him the questions and he gave me the answers.
Well, young man, instead of trying to resort to deception, wouldn't it have been better if you'd used your brains?
Well, I suppose you don't think it takes brains to learn the Morse code?
Oh, the Morse code?
Yeah.
Oh.
There I go again.
Yeah. Now, what's that got to do with it?
Well, you see, Gopher Puss is very nervous.
Yes.
He's a high-strung little blighter.
Yes, I see.
And he taps his pencils during exams.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Taps his pencil.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's that got to do with the Morse code?
Well, inadvertently, he taps out the answers.
Oh, I see. Ah, I see.
During history test, it sounded like a woodpecker's convention.
Charlie, the first thing in the morning, I want you to go down to Miss Kraushofer, your teacher.
Yes?
And I want you to tell her the truth.
Oh, no.
Remember, Charlie, confession is good for the soul.
Yeah, but it sure is tough on the report card.
Oh, I...
Say, Charlie, there's a young man outside. He says his name is Ludlow Barksdale-Higgins.
Oh, yeah, that's Gopher Puss. Oh. Good old Gopher. Higgins.
Oh, yes.
He parts his name in the middle.
Yeah. Gopher Puss. Well, I'll give him a piece of my mind.
Well, now, don't be hasty, Bergen. He's a great admirer of yours.
Oh, I see.
He's heard so much about you.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll be tolerant with him. Have him come in, will
you? Right this way, young man. Here's Charlie.
How do you do, Charles?
Hiya, Gulf.
My, Mr. Birthing, you're much better looking than Charlie described.
Yeah, hey, Gopher, that's Amici. Here's Durgan over here.
Yes, what do you mean, oh?
Just old, that's all.
Oh, I see, yes. So Charlie told you all about me, eh?
Yes, but he was terribly wrong.
Oh, is that so?
Indeed, yes. Your head hardly comes to a point at all.
That's a telling him gasket mouth.
Well, now, wait, officer.
From the phrenological development of the occipital bone, yeah, one might surmise that you are very intelligent.
Yes, well, all this is beside the point, Ludlow.
You may call me Gopher Puss.
Oh, thank you, yes. Well, Gopher Puss, with your superior knowledge, aren't you ashamed of your conduct?
Mr. Bergen, in spite of my sophisticated intelligence, at heart, I'm just a little rat.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what do you owe this keen intellect of yours to?
I owe it all to clean living and goat's milk.
Oh, I see.
So you drink goat's milk, do you?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. I'm fully convinced that this nutritious fluid has made me the genius that I am.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I take the stuff myself, Bergen, you know, with a ginger ale chaser.
Oh, is that... Well, why?
Well, it's brain food, Durgan, brain food.
Well, now, that's strange. You know, baby goats drink it, but I've never heard of a baby goat amounting to anything.
A very clever rejoinder, Mr. Bergen.
Oh.
I wouldn't try it again, Durgan. No, I
can't. Well, tell me, boys, does drinking all that goat's milk, does it have any ill effects?
Oh, certainly not.
Why, not?
We'll be back with more from Charlie McCarthy and all of his friends right after this. And now let's get back to Charlie McCarthy on When Radio Was.
Don, I say that's Jerome Kern's music, right?
Yes, that's right, Ed. And the words are Johnny Mercer's. The result, Dearly Beloved, in Ray Noble's arrangement.
Dearly beloved, how clearly I see, somewhere in heaven you were fashioned for me. Angel eyes knew you, angel voices led me to you. Nothing could save me, fate gave me a sign. I know that I'll be yours come shower or shine. So I say, dearly, dearly beloved. Angel eyes knew you, angel voices led me to you.
There is Nathaniel,
fate gave me a sign.
You'll be together,
come shower or shine. So I say,
what is it, Ed?
I just wanted to tip you off. I've invited Ken Murray over this evening. You know, his vaudeville show Blackouts of 1943 has broken all records.
Well, that's funny. I thought vaudeville was dead.
Well, he's tried to keep it alive, and his great problem now is to find some new talent.
Find some new talent?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fine. What time is he going to see me?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, Don. I was thinking of myself.
What do you mean?
Well, I'd kind of like to return to vaudeville. You know, he might make me a good offer, and I don't like to ask you, but...
You'd kind of like to go back. Yeah, well, look, yeah, now, I've got an idea. I'll tell you what I'll do, Ed. Yeah. I'll act as your manager and get you some big money.
Yeah. Well, that's darn nice of you, Don.
Perfectly all right, Ed, and I'll only charge you 10% commission. I'll make you look great.
Yeah.
And if he so much as mentions your acting, I'll change the subject.
Hello, boys. Hello. Meet me, Edgar. Press the flesh and pat the poor. It's Ken, the man, the genuine Murray.
Ken, I want you to meet Don Amici.
Hiya, Don. I used to know an Amici in Kenosha.
Well, I'm from Kenosha.
That's too bad. I knew it couldn't be the same one. Say, Amici, with a smile like that, I could get you in pictures.
Yeah, but I am in pictures.
Well, in that case, maybe you can get me in.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. Remember me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now I've told you how good that is. I understand you're looking for talent, Mr. Murray, and just so happens that I represent three or four of the biggest names in show business.
Well, I'll tell you what I need, Don. I need someone who can act like Paul Muni, sing like Lawrence Tibbett, and tell jokes like Fred Allen.
Oh, well, how much are you willing to pay this fella?
$35 a week.
I'll take it.
Now, wait a minute, Don. You'll take it. What do you mean you'll take it? Say, who are you selling? Remember me? 10%?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Ken, I have a great bet here. It's a sure thing.
What is it?
What is it? I can get you Edgar Bergen for $50.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for $75?
Oh, I got just the fella for you. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Wait a minute, guys. Hey, Ken, what's that routine about $75? You remember me. You know, we've worked plenty of shows together. Remember how mad you used to get when I got all the laughs?
Oh, yes, I remember, Edgar. Of course I do. Say, Edgar, whatever became of that broken-down ventriloquist act you used to do?
I heard that remark. Boy, that's my cue. Lenny Adam broke it out, huh?
You heard me there, Charlie. You heard me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Murphy. We didn't have to hide out for a couple of years like you did till the audience forgot our jokes.
No, you kept right on telling them.
Murray, you're as sharp as a wet rag.
Now, Charlie, Now, Charlie, you know, Ken and I are old friends.
That's right, Edgar, that's right. And you'll always be remembered, Edgar, for that great contribution you made to show business.
Oh, yeah?
What did he do?
Well, I tell you, one summer, canoe tipped over and he saved my life.
What is there about you that gets you, Murray?
I don't know. I guess it's my modesty. Yes, I have that, too, among my other great virtues.
There's no shortage of ham around here, is there?
Wait a minute there, McCarthy. What do you mean, ham? Why, in my show, I'm killing the people. Such applause. Last night, their palms were red.
Yeah? Well, tomatoes will do that every time.
Ken, now, do you really get all these big laughs you tell?
Well, I'll give you a small idea.
Yeah?
I'll give you a small idea. In my show, I tell 450 jokes.
You do?
Yeah, six of them are very funny to me.
I suppose now and then you tell them a brand new oldie?
Say, do you remember those corny chicken jokes that used to lay, but you always told them?
Yes, I remember the chicken jokes.
Ken, here it is. This time I've really, really got it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I've really got it.
Hello, chaps. Pip, pip, and all that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. You got it, but what is it?
Well, I should explain. I am Sir Raymond Fotheringay Frumpington at your service.
Well, Frumpy, you don't seem to have much personality.
No, I don't, do I?
No.
But after you get to know me, you'll find me just frightfully dull.
Hey, Amici, come here a minute.
Yeah.
What can he do?
You ask me, what can he do?
Yeah.
Why, he can do simply everything. He's really a great artist, a great artist. By the way, what can you do?
Well, can you dance?
No, frightfully sorry.
Can you act?
No, frightfully sorry.
Hmm. Have you ever been on the stage before?
Oh, stage? No, frightfully sorry.
All right, so he does need a little rehearsing, but I tell you, he's really got the makings.
Yeah.
He looks more like the leavings.
Look, Frumpy, what can you do? Can you stand on your head?
Oh, dear, no. Much too high, you see.
We can get you a chair.
Well, is there anything else that you can't do?
Well, I tell you frankly, Mr. Murray, I do feel I should be very helpful in choosing your jokes.
Oh, yes. Choosing my jokes?
Yes, exactly.
You're good at choosing jokes, huh?
Oh, yes, rather. We English can always Piccadilly.
Yeah.
Piccadilly.
Amici, do we have to stand for these English puns?
No, I'm frightfully sorry. There's no use bucking him.
Yeah.
You get it? And while I'm killing you this way, Murray, wouldn't you like to reconsider me?
Oh, no.
What can you do?
Yeah, there's a question. Yeah, no.
What do you mean, a question? Animal acts are very clever, and I've got a trained dog.
Oh, no. Amici, dog acts are old stuff.
No, oh, Murray, not the way I do it. I lie down, roll over, and the dog gives me a piece of liver.
I say, old boy, you forget Don.
Yeah.
You're the agent, old boy. I'm the artist, you know. You're
yeah.
the agent.
Yeah. I'm the... Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, that's right. So you're a hand of... A great artist to a great artist. Why don't you tell Mr. Murray about your music, Raymond?
Well, of course, that is my forte. Would you care for a short madrigal?
No, not before dinner.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Raymond. A short madrigal won't hurt him. Force it on him.
Very well.
Nice and clear now, head toss.
Here we go. A little embarrassed, you know.
Yes.
Oh, the days of the Carey dancing. Mm-hmm. Oh, the ring of
pipes. That's it.
Oh, for one of those hours of gladness. Gone. Gone, alas, like
a... Amici, look, you're wasting my time. I came here looking for talent.
Yes, yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been here 20 minutes and I'm still looking.
Well,
How do you do? Yes, how do you do?
Uh-oh.
And what is this?
This, Murray, is really it. I've been saving him.
Yeah, looks like you saved him too long.
Come on, chum, tell us what you do.
Well, I used to be a flagpole sitter.
That's nice work. Of course, a little drafty.
I had to quit it, though. I always kept slipping down to half mast. No. I did, too. And before that, I used to do an acrobatic act. I was a human cartwheel.
A cartwheel?
Yes, a cartwheel. Uh-huh. But I had to give that up, too.
Why?
I couldn't get any tires.
Yeah. Did I tell you he had it? He's yeah. really got it. Yes, that yes. funny he's, stuff?
He seems pretty tired to me, though. So you're an acrobat, huh? An acrobat?
Yeah.
Do you do front overs?
Front overs? Front? Oh, no. I do not do front overs. I do something faster than that. I call them popovers.
Popovers.
Well, they aren't exactly popovers either. No, because there's very little dough in popovers. Yeah.
Look, wait a minute. Tell me, what do you do?
Just a moment. I do not work for nothing.
Well, what do you...
Step.
What do you do for a finish?
Oh, a finish? Mm. Oh, I do a fire-eating act.
Fire-eating?
Oh, can you do a fire-eating
oh,
now?
Oh, yes. No, I'm sorry. My pilot light went out.
Amici, get that fellow out of it. This stuff is no good. It's not what I want.
Well, Murray, can you give us a sample of what you would like?
You gotta have comedy, bright comedy, big laughs.
Yeah, well, give us an idea, big
laughs. All right, Jolly, all right. Now, this is the kind of stuff I want. Like
here
this,
it
for
comes,
instance,
brother.
I say, on my way to the broadcast tonight, a very funny thing happened, see?
Yeah.
A fellow said to me, I've got a goat at my house with no nose. See? And I say to him, how does he smell? And he says, oh, not bad. He's just a kid. See?
Oh, get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago, I read a very short and perhaps bitter poem in a humorous magazine. It was called Post-Christmas Ballad. And here it is. At last, it's past. I suppose many people feel that way. It's not a good way to feel, but in this battle-scarred decade of the 20th century, the physical and nervous energy involved in keeping up the war production and putting forward a holiday front proved a great strain. Now, as we step resolutely into the new year, we know whatever it may mean for us as individuals, it will certainly mean change for all of us. Let us resolve to accept this temporary change as a very reasonable price to pay
in order to avoid a change that would be inexorably permanent. Every time any of us here at home feels inclined to complain about a shortage of this or that, or about some slight inconvenience, remember we can double any inconvenience, triple every shortage, and we will still be several thousand miles from those swamps where men and machines are locked in mortal combat. Still thousands of miles from the icy, fog-bound North Pacific and the bitter, cold winds that sweep the North Atlantic and the Baltic as the convoys plow to our allies. There are men facing things today that those very men only a few months ago would not have believed a man could stand. And they're doing it with a courage and fortitude that men rise to in the defense of the ideals they believe in. They believe in these United States they're fighting for. And no sacrifice is too great to prove their belief. Ours must be equal to theirs.
Well, Charlie, who do you suppose is going to drop in on us next week?
Not the sheriff again.
No.
I give up.
Well, a very famous drummer.
Oh, a traveling salesman.
No, Charlie. Gene Krupa, the band leader.
Well, skidetin datin duta, if it ain't Krupa. I haven't seen a good pair of drumsticks since Thanksgiving.
Yes, I have.
With us again next Sunday when our special guest will be Gene Krupa. Meanwhile, when it's coffee you're buying, ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. When it's tea, Tenderleaf brand tea. Two favorites for days like these. Until next Sunday then, this is Don Ameche saying goodnight.
Came to you from Hollywood, this is the National Broadcasting Company.
From January 3rd, 1943, special guests Ken Murray and Edgar Bergen were close pals. Bergen even served as Murray's best man when he married his second of eventual three wives. I'm Greg Bell, and like Ken Murray, show announcer Don Ameche was also both a radio and film actor. In 1939, he played the title character in the biographical picture The Story of Alexander Graham Bell. For a time after its release, slang for a telephone was the Ameche. I'm Greg Bell, no relation to Alexander Graham, and up next on When Radio Was, it's more comedy. We'll have Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce as the couple next door, right after this break.